All right, tell us what we're reading.
Ecclesiastes 9, verses 1 through 3. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hands of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him, before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. And is the good, so is the sinner, and he that swears as he that fears an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done unto the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that they go to the dead.
What is that scripture telling you guys? Telling us.
All things come alike, regardless of who you are. And at the end of the day, everyone is dead.
Okay, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Mope?
I don't know. Jabari's phone was breaking up, so I'm getting to it now on my tablet. I'm looking at myself. What was Jabari's phone? I don't know. I had weird feedback. So I don't know. I couldn't really hear what he was saying. So say it again. We're in Ecclesiastes 9, verse what?
1 through 3.
Okay.
For all this I consider in my heart, even to declare all this. So Solomon is writing the book of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and the Song of Solomon and all whatever stuff he writes. And he is concerned with all of this. Then the more I read, I get his same concern. The more I live, I see more of his concerns. So did you find it yet, Mope?
Yeah, my tablet took me to it. It took me, and then it took me away from it and took me on a commercial. So I'm sorry, I'm a little bit behind, but it took me somewhere weird. But it took me there for a second. I'm going back to it again.
Okay, no problem. I'll just commenting while you're cutting it down. That the righteous and the wise and their work are in the hands of Elohim. So everything we do or don't do or whatever is in the hands of Yahweh. Yahweh is in control of everything, if you like it or not. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. So we don't know if we're going to have in our life love, or if we're going to be hated, if we're going to find somebody to love, or if we're going to be hated. Or if we're going to find people that, we don't know anything. But he says it's all in the hand of Yahweh. All things come alike to all. There is one event that happens to the righteous and to the wicked. And then it lists, all the different types of people. To the good and to the sinner. This is an evil among all things that is done under the sun, that there is one event that happens to all, and that the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. I'm like, what? our hearts are full of evil and we are insane? As long as we live? I just said, oh my goodness, this is not good. That's what was puzzling me so greatly. And that Yahweh's in charge of all this. Whatever happens to the righteous or to the wicked, to the sinner, to the good, to the bad, to the, you know, whatever. And no man knows if you're going to have love in your life or you'll be hated all your life. Interesting. That's why I asked, what was your comment on this verse? Are we really insane? Yes, we're insane. Do we do insane things? Yes, we do insane things. Are we really evil? No, we are full of evil. What are we up to? Why are we here? That's the other question. Why are we here on the planet on all of this? If this is our condition, since this is our condition, ain't no if, that is our condition. And what I'm finding out, I was reading other places, still in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, that we're here to be tested, to see what we will do, and see where we will take our insaneness, and will we see how our hearts are full of evil, and will we want to purge it? Will we allow him to change us? Or will we just continue in our insanity? That's why I keep asking you guys, hey, why are you here on the planet? Why are we here? Have y'all found out why? What's your goal? What is your purpose? That's the only thing that matters when it's all said and done. And if you never find out, then why were you born? So these are questions that should be, you know, one day that you have to look at, or that you should look at. And consider. So have you guys figured out your purpose yet or anything?
Yeah. Not really.
Have y'all thought about it? How about that?
Yeah, because you've asked us before, but just because you've asked us.
No, no, no. I didn't say, I said, think, have you thought about it? That means heavy thinking about it. Heavy thought, not just in passing. Because if you don't, you'll never get a chance to. You know that. Everything will keep you so busy, you will never get a chance to ever sit down and figure it out. That's the plan. The plan is for you never to know, and you're not supposed to figure it out or think about it. And that's why as you study the scriptures in certain portions, it starts giving you these, you know, like, oh, okay. I need to sit down for a few minutes and think about this. A few hours, few days, few years, whatever. So that you don't let that escape you. Because most people that escape, they have no purpose. They're just here. The average person that's in the ghetto, what is their purpose?
To get out.
No, the half of them don't want to get out. They love it there. Some of them have, like some women, they'll have more babies and more babies and live off welfare. I mean, that's their whole life. And some guys, like the guys I grew up with, you know, they, you know, like when I was in school, I never planned to go to college. I never planned to do anything. I didn't even know what I wanted to do. I'm graduating from high school and I still don't know a thing until these, you know, these women, you know, at the school told me point blank that you're going to be a bum, you're going to be in jail, and you'll probably sweep the street. That's all you're good for. So at that point, I needed to reconsider my goals in life and my purpose on the planet. Because if that's my purpose on the planet, that's all I'm here for, I don't like that. And I don't want that. But I didn't have any other choice because they, you know, that's what they told me. So then I aimed in my life to give me a goal and a purpose to make sure I'm not what they want, what they think I should be, period. That was the end of it. So then that put me on the path to college. So a lot of my friends who were there who graduated, remember, I had a D average. And most people had B's and A's and, you know, C's, you know, I mean, much greater. And some of them, I find out later, you know, they wind up in jail, they wind up dead, they wind up doing exactly what they said. So, and I remember, like, some people, like my cousins, one, he was an excellent athlete. I think he went to college at Rice. He won a scholarship playing basketball, and he overdosed. So for him was playing basketball and getting high, and that was life. And he died doing that. Another one is Michelle. She's around the same age as me. Matter of fact, I think we were the same age or maybe a year apart. Used to hang out with her, you know. She lived in the projects. And I haven't seen her in decades. And Victor said he saw her, and she was on drugs. And she was trying to get off of drugs. So she went through rehab, and she came back. And so they had no life. And I'm sure that the same story that I'm giving you is probably the same story to some of your friends or people you knew in high school, same thing. Unless you find a purpose, and unless you define and get, you know, to understand what life is about, that's the key. Before you can plan what you're going to do, you need to understand what life is about and why you're here on the planet so that you can put all that in perspective. Otherwise, hey, who knows what you'll be doing. You see? So there's other people. If you look out on the streets, you'll see lots of people. You know, just hanging out on the corner, getting hot. That's it. They can be in their teens. They can be in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. And some of them in their 60s. Still doing the same thing that I did when I was in high school. You thought it was cool, you know, getting high, drinking beer, you know. Oh, come on, man. Okay, you went through that phase. It's time to move on in life. You can't stay there. And some people never leave that life. Because they never thought about that they needed to figure it out. Now, some, like you said, you know, Carla, Robin, Jordan, all of them, you know, saying, hey, man, we got to get out of this life. No, we're not going to stay here. And they, you know, bettered themselves and got a direction and, you know, and that's the ghetto where they grew up in Baltimore. Some are still struggling, still trying to figure it out. But, you know, they've. And so that was my question to you guys. Now, remember, I figured all this out by 20-something years old. I was finished. I figured all of it out. So y'all are all over 20, so y'all are supposed to be figuring out things faster than I did. So where are you guys?
Continue to filled my walk with God and continue to outreach and help others. And just basically, I'm a very giving, helpful type of person. I like to give back and do things and outreach to others, impact others in a positive way in life, people that weren't as blessed as myself and so forth. So those are some goals and visions that I have as I continue to further my own life, education, and health and so forth. Just some ideas. But I don't know. As far as going back to school again, I don't know. I feel like I have enough space as of right now.
I haven't figured it out yet. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know what I enjoy doing. I enjoy dealing with people. Like Jabari said, I enjoy helping people. I want to start scholarships for people who can't go to college, you can't pay for it. You know, like, I mean, but I'm like, is that my purpose, to get kids into college and pay for their expenses and help them be more positive people? I don't think that's my purpose. I think that's something that I'd be good at, something that would be a blessing to people, but that's not the reason why I'm put on this planet. I don't know. I think that's just things I want to do. But I don't know. I don't think that's my purpose. I think it's something that I'm going to do, but there has to be another purpose.
Right. The key is Elohim has to be part of the main equation so he can redirect you in different ways. Because we just read that, and I considered in my heart even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of Elohim. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. So we don't know what's before us, but he does. And depending on our relationship with him, he will allow certain things to come in our lives to redirect us. Okay, so if we don't get redirected on this event, then he redirects us on another. And if we don't get on that one, then he redirects us on another. And he keeps redirecting us until we can get to a place that'll be our purpose. As an example, my older brother, Victor, his purpose now is to help other people get off of drugs and understand the consequences of falling into that lifestyle. Okay? But he had to go through it the hard way by going through all of it to now to help others see the downfall. I mean, I saw the downfalls, when I was in high school. I could see that. But he couldn't see it. So Yahweh had to bounce him around in all of these events and so forth in his life so that he could eventually, get to that point. So he had a hard life. And whoever was hanging out with him had a hard one too. And his wives had hard ones too and whatever. So the question is, where is he going to bounce us around to so that we can understand how the best way to get to where he wants us to take, where he wants to take us? You said, Jabari, that you want to find out about Yahweh. How are you going to do that?
I'll just continue to study and continue to seek after his word and follow, seek him out so he can point me in the right direction of where some goals that you see and want in the future, sometimes you don't know how to get there. So sometimes it's just important to build your walk with him, build your guidance with him, and seek him in the word and study and read. Kind of like studying just like you would for a test or a course. you know, you just continue to learn more about God and so forth.
All right. So what type of program you going to be on? Are you going to, like my example, don't have to be the same as mine. My example was I wanted to read the Bible through in a year. So I went and got, you know, pamphlet that said, okay, read these verses, read these verses, read these chapters, read these, and, you know, and so I did. And then I said, okay, I want to read at a slower pace, okay. I want to read the Old Testament in a year and then the New Testament the next year. Then I did that. So there was a plan to try to see how I can actually get the word in me. Because the more you get the word in you, the more you have a fight. Okay, there's a fight inside of us. You know, the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. So the more you have the word in you, it starts to live in you. The less you have the word in you, that means you got to read it aloud, hear it on TV or whatever. Just constantly fill your mind with the word. And as you're able to do that, then he's able to show you things and be able to put desires in your heart, the direction, and all of those different things. And so that's how I got to where I am. I remember there was a challenge, there was a sermon, and the challenge was, hey, you're babes. We're babes in the word. Just like a real baby. And he says you have to drink the sincere milk of the word. So in reality, when you are first born, you have breast milk from your mother. And as you take the breast milk, it has all the nutrients and minerals and everything that you need to survive, to live on. And so as you do that, you're living. And so I was told that the word of Elohim has all of these essential things that we need for our spiritual being. And as we read the word, as we study the word, as we fill our minds with the word, as we fill our ears with the word, then that word can now take root in us. And as it takes root in us, it starts to change us. And then we don't desire the things that we used to desire. Things become less important and so forth. So that's how a lot of the things that I used to do started falling away. I didn't know why it was falling away. I started reading and studying. And so all this other stuff, you know, drinking and this, and all that stuff just started falling away. It wasn't important. And so, you know, as time went on, it was gone. And so, and that's how he cleans us. That's what he says. He cleans us through the washing of the word. The word, as it changes us mentally, physically, spiritually, how we look at things and so forth. It just does, it's just an amazing thing that it does. He says to do it. And so that was the challenge to us at the church. We were challenged to do that. He says, I challenge you to do that for 1 year and see the results. And I said, okay, I'll take you up on the challenge. And I did it. And so now I try to get up in the morning, and the first thing I'll do is try to read the word. Read it for maybe, you know, whatever I need to read. And then I go out and exercise, run, stretch, you know, and then start my day and keep going. And I remember when you guys were little, when I used to get up early, y'all used to say y'all hardly ever saw me. I would go to bed early, and I would get up around 3 in the morning, read my Bibles, because I was reading lots of different things at that time. I was reading the Bible, Spirit of Prophecy, this, that, and the other. And then I would, you know, head out to work. But I was trying to make sure that my spiritual being was being fed, just like your body has to be fed and exercised. And so that's the food for the spirit, and the exercise is by understanding the word or memorizing the word. If there's certain scriptures you can memorize, that'd be even better. So there's certain scriptures I memorize. There's like lots of scriptures. It just comes. That's all. It's just not. And so after you read it a lot of times, then they start to connect and start to make sense. And so that was my concern for you all. You're saying, okay. Where are my children at? I got to make sure that they understand what's really the bottom line in life, the really bottom line in studying, bottom line in the word, in Yahweh, and all of that type of stuff. So they say, hey, if your kids don't even, your children don't even believe it, then how much did you really believe it? How much did you really help them understand the need for that? And I said, okay. So that's why I said, okay, well, let's have Bible studies so that, you know, we can get together. I'm not saying you got to go to a building and a church and this and that. That don't, you know, we know that don't mean anything. Half of that stuff is nonsense. So, but there's places that you can go. That's why we study, try to study, and try to get together so that we can encourage each other down the path. Because that's what's important, encouragement. Like an example, I remember Aunt Linda and Aunt Carolyn. They had mentioned to me and Mom, your mom, that they were encouraged that we kept going where they stopped on vegetarianism, on raising your kids, on homeschooling, living in the country, you know, all of these different things. And they would encourage us to do those things and to continue down the path, even though they could not, because they didn't have a mate that wanted to go down that path. So, you know, they were fighting with them all the time, so that wasn't going to work. And so they were glad that we was an example to the family and to others to head down this path that no one has, you know, no one has ever gone before, really. In our families and the people we knew, church people, nobody has gone down this path like we did. Zero. But they said they would have wanted to do that if they had a partner to do that with. And so we were encouraged to stay on the path because there was others who wanted us to stay on the path and wanted to see what the results would take them. And then see, how would it affect your kids? Because that was our whole plan. Like we told you, you know, your mom and I told you, we wanted John the Baptist children, period. End of discussion. All right, we're going to try to be a Zachariah and Elizabeth so that we can have John the Baptist children, period. And so when we did all the different things that we did, then Aunt Carolyn was looking to see, okay, are these going to be John the Baptist children? Aunt Linda and them were looking, and then everybody else was looking. Mom is looking, my mom is looking, and her mom is looking. Everybody just looking to see, hey, is this thing real? Can this thing really happen? Or is this just a book that, you know, it's just a book? And so you needed somebody to go down the path diligently enough, not as an individual by themselves, but as a pair, because it's going to take two to encourage each other to stay on the path. You know, you get, you know, desperate after a while. And then the question, so then that's where it came to. So a lot of when we were on the at the wedding. Now Barbara is constantly telling me, you should be very proud of your kids. Your kids have come. Your kids are a model to us, as some of our children want to be. Now saying, oh, okay. And I keep hearing that, you know, from others and so forth. So you guys are, you know, y'all are moving down the path, no question about it. People are watching you. They are trying to see, okay, all of this stuff that the Emmanuels gave up, when they gave it up, does it have the desired results that they wish for? And if so, then you don't have just one generation, now you have two generations that can continue it, which are you guys. Because you guys experience stuff that hardly nobody on the entire planet has ever experienced. Did y'all know that?
Well, yeah, kind of, I mean, we were out of touch with most people. But yeah, I kind of knew that, but didn't know everyone was, I guess, looking to see, hey, will this work, will it not work? I didn't know. I just thought people were living their own lives and say, hey, you know, you guys do what you want, kind of thing. But
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure now. Thanks, Ed. All right, listen, I'm at the gym. I got to go.
All right, girl. Carry on.
I love you guys, though.
Love you, too. Next week.
Take
care. Yeah, I'll be on next week.
Okay, cool.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
All right. So, yeah, it seems like this is... So, you said that you thought that everybody said do it your own way or what? What were you saying?
I mean, people say, hey, you guys are doing what y'all doing, but not really saying, oh, wow, if this works, or, hey, this is a great idea, unfortunately, we can't do it. It's kind of like, hey, you guys go ahead and enjoy life your way, and we'll do it ours. Not,
and
hey,
you thought that was coming from who? Who was that coming from?
I mean, I didn't know. I don't know. I mean, I just assumed that's how everybody told. I don't know.
Who's this everybody?
Not to say it's like most people that we grew up around, cousins, aunts, uncles. They kind of didn't think they were like, hey, let's see how
give
this
me,
goes.
Give me names, son.
No,
give me names.
Just people that want to list everybody. It takes too long. But just saying people that we interacted with that were related to us.
Like?
People in all parts of the family, moms and yours. So I didn't think people were saying, hey, you know, it's great what they're doing. Unfortunately, we can't do it. Let's see how these kids turn out in 20 years. That's all.
Okay, so you thought that nobody thought that way?
Yeah, basically. They kind of. Because otherwise, why not try it out? Why not try it out?
How can you try it out?
It's the best way.
Right. Okay. How could you try it out if you didn't have anybody, if you had your partner who was going the opposite direction?
You can't, but...
Thank you. So that's where Aunt Linda was. That's where Aunt Carolyn was. Now, in reference to other people, Pat and Curtis were not on that realm. I'm just talking about people who are married. Brother James wasn't married. He didn't have kids. So these are the only ones you can compare it to. Who else were you comparing it to?
I don't know. You mentioned Barbara and some other people. So.
We were never around on Barbara much.
I know. But you're saying they knew about it. I mean, that's what you mentioned.
Whoa. Everybody knew what we were doing. Everybody knew we were homeschooling. Everybody knew we were vegetarians. Everybody knew we didn't hang around the family a lot because the family was doing some crazy stuff. Everybody knew that we had gone down a path, you know, because Aunt Linda would tell them. I mean, you know, Mom would tell them. I mean, when y'all were at Mom's house, Mom knew that you guys were doing things, that y'all were being trained up a whole different way than everybody else. So they talked. So everybody knew, but everybody didn't see, but everybody knew. You see what I'm saying? Now, the kids, you can't count the kids because I don't think it was ever communicated to Farrah, Mariama, Trey, Mookie, Kimberly, you know, so those you got to cancel out. Carla, Robin, Joanne, no. Those were kids, so they did not come up in that vain thinking. You see what I'm saying? Now, Aunt Sandy did, but Aunt Sandy couldn't do it also because she was not married. But Aunt Sandy did go a long way in what she was doing on the raw food diet. Did you know that?
Yeah, I was aware of that. It was for other reasons, too. I mean,
okay.
Keep your body cleansed. Longer life.
Okay. So, yeah. So she was doing raw food for over 20 years. Did you know that?
I knew it was a while.
Yeah. But did you know why?
Because for a while I thought it was because that's just what she wanted to do.
Okay. Which she did want to do because she did it. Okay? And what else?
I mean, that was the best, like the healthiest lifestyle for someone with her condition.
Right. To keep AIDS from coming up and killing her, she had to stay on a raw food diet. Yeah. That was the bottom line. And she did that for many years. But as time went on, she was encouraged in that lifestyle. Did you know that?
She was discouraged, you said, or encouraged.
Right. She was not encouraged in that lifestyle. So as time went on, she, you know, started falling off. And then she started eating the meat again and the chicken. And I asked her, I said, what are you doing? You know that, you know, you have to stay on this lifestyle to keep this in check. Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't believe that no more. Blah, blah, blah. I said, no, when you go off this thing, it's going to kill you. But she was not encouraged. She had other people to encourage her to eat the meat. They were encouraging her to do the opposite. So that's what happened. That pressure from outside was collapsing on her, and eventually she changed over, and that's what happened. And then when I told, and then when she found out that that's where she was going back, she asked me to help her find, you know, the first thing I did was say, hey, you need to get back to the natural path and back to all of that stuff. You know what I mean? And go down to Tennessee or wherever you need to go to, you know. And her mom and her sisters were telling me, don't be encouraging her in that. And I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? She can't go down chemo and radiation. She has got to get back on the only thing that works. Did you know that we were fighting about that? In the past?
I don't know that.
Yeah. So my point was to you is everybody in our family knew all the different things you guys were going through. And they could see it on Sandy when she was on the diet. They could see that it was, you know, it kept her, you know, rolling. And so they knew from that perspective, if you follow the natural routes, you can, you know, it works, bottom line. It works. And then they were looking to see, okay, hey, with this generation that you guys grew up and all this stuff and all that stuff, is that, what is up with those kids? All of the sacrifices you guys made for them, is it worthwhile? Was it worthwhile? Like I said, Aunt Linda knew it would be. Aunt Carolyn knew it would be. But that's it. You thought my mom never knew it would be. She didn't believe it. Aunt Barbara. But remember, the rest of them never knew it. You see the difference between Aunt Linda, Carolyn, and myself? Out that group on Sandy, all of us, that little group of us, we knew that this would work, and we was indoctrinated in it, and we were all the same age. You see what I'm saying? So we could do all of this because we were not older. We were not my mom's age or Barbara's age or any of those ages because they lived a whole different life. They thought, you know, all of that stuff really didn't matter. You see what I'm saying? They did not know that. They were not indoctrinated. They were not taught any of these things. So this is what made the difference. We had a generation gap. And so people were just waiting to see what would happen. And our cousin Pat, she didn't believe it because she wasn't part of our original group. Curtis didn't half believe it because he wasn't part of the group. And they joined the group later after we were kicked out of church. But the group core that understood this was Aunt Linda, Aunt Carolyn, Sandy, your mom, and myself. And that was it. And all of them incorporate, all of them encouraged us down this path, all of them, every last one of them. So their kids didn't know, just like you guys didn't know. So their kids, you know, their kids think we're crazy, because, but the parents know we're not crazy at all. And if they could have, they would have gone down the same path with us. And so years later, Aunt Barbara says, hey, you should be very proud of your kids. But she didn't know that this was going to happen. But she heard that that's what we believe would happen. But she did not know it was going to happen, because she didn't understand all the ramifications. Mom didn't understand all the ramifications. She was feeding y'all because you said y'all would be down there and then mom would feed y'all meat. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she didn't understand it. She didn't believe it. She thought we were probably in the beginning like, oh man, my son and his wife are killing my grandkids. But as time went on, she started realizing, no man, they were right, and she says that she did not believe her friend, but she says as time went on, she started to see it and she realized it. And then as time went on, others started seeing it and started, you know. And even, you know, such that it filtered down, that people started to understand. And I remember, like I said, Cousin Pat and Curtis didn't, you know, they wasn't part of the original group. They eventually joined, but they still didn't believe all the stuff that we believe. So recently, over the last few years, Cousin Pat told me that, hey, you should be very proud of your kids. And all of this, and all, and I said, wait. Now, Cousin Pat, now you know that you had the same opportunity to raise your kids as we did, but you refused to. She said, I did refuse to, because I didn't believe it. And I didn't want to do it. But because you guys stuck it out, and you're still a vegetarian, and you're still, you look younger than us, and you're still different than us, this stuff really works. And your kids are like, wow. They surpass all of my kids, and we grew up in the same environment. I said, no, we moved out of the environment that you guys were in, that I grew up in, with you guys, which everybody grew up in. We left that environment, and we created a new one, which was based on the word of Yahweh. And so that's why our kids are the way, that's why your kids are your way, and that's why my kids are my way. Simple. Because we followed the program. And she said that she was, yes, you know. But I said, this is recent, okay? Prior to that, Cousin Pat was not, you know, was not believing anything that we were saying, okay? So it took years for people to actually come around to see the results of you guys, see the results of our health, of how I'm still looking young. And, you know, she keeps complaining to me that she is so jealous of me, because I don't hardly have any gray, and I'm older than she is. Her husband already lost all his hair. Harry lost all his hair. He says that she just can't believe this. But I said, all you got to do is follow what the Creator said, man. Forget all this foolishness that you believe all that the world tells you. They don't know nothing. They're a bunch of idiots. And they just leading you off the path. So the catch was, all of these people, over time, came around. Aunt Linda and Aunt Carolyn knew from Jump Street it was going to work, that they were not questioning. And Aunt Sandy, none of them questioned, those three. Everybody else questioned it. But now that you guys are grown, now that they're comparing you with their kids, they're saying that, y'all are miles apart. And so they're saying, yes, it sounds like you guys might become this group. You know, John the Baptist is that we've been looking for. And say, you're saying you didn't know any of this.
From that view, I mean, we were in the same boat as the kids, as the other people's kids.
That's correct, but how did y'all turn out?
Well, I'm fine. I'm great.
Yep.
Honestly, I'm great. I'm
I'm still debating what I'm going to do when I have matches.
We'll see how that works. But what kind of measures would I take?
Right. So, yes. And everybody keeps saying, Jabari has turned out the best out of the entire bunch. Out of everybody. All the generation of yours. With Mookie, with Kerr, Linda's kids, everybody's kids, the Hollis kids, the Ford kids, everybody's kids. They said, no. There is no comparison. That your kids, as a whole, has reached beyond the rest of them. But I said, well, that shouldn't be. No, that was not surprising to Aunt Linda. That was not surprising to Carolyn. That was not surprising to Aunt Sandy. It was surprising to everyone else. The Hollins, the Joneses, the Aleens, everybody. Everybody else was surprised, but they said they know what the difference was. Their parents went the long way, or the hard way that they would call it, to give their kids stuff that they did not give their kids because they didn't see the importance of it. So that's the difference. So that's what everybody is looking for. And seeing, yes, okay, now that they have become grown and they are doing well, and like you said, you don't have anything to worry about, do you?
Nope.
Everything is running fine, perfect. Everything is just, you know, you couldn't ask for anything better. And that's all they're saying. They're saying, listen, everything, I mean, it's at his hand. And I said, that's because he listened. First of all, he was raised the right way, and he listened to me. There were certain things, there was obstacles that would have caught him that I just told him, hey, avoid that, go over here, go over there, and then you don't have to worry about anything. And he listened, and so he went down that path, and so, he reaped the benefits of that. And they, you know, and because we counseled, you know, a bunch of the young people certain things, and they didn't listen. So, hey, what can we say? That's their call. And they wind up in a different, place. So, yeah. So, yes. So that's what I just wanted to make sure you guys understood the purpose of, you know, your life and, you know, the need for pursuing Yahweh at the highest order and him able to direct you to wherever you need to go. Anywhere you need to go, he will open the door. Now, in the beginning, did you see that this is where you would wind up?
Nope, not at all.
Well, how did you think you were going to wind up?
I don't know. It's like any other kid. You don't know how you're going to end up. You don't even know what you want to do in life.
No, but you told me what you wanted to do. You said you wanted to write poetry. You wanted to do this. You wanted to. I said, okay, fine. I said, but first we got to make sure you got a job so you can do all of that. Remember?
I guess. I mean, unless they get to write poetry back then or be a computer game designer. I don't remember.
Yep. You wanted all those things. I said, okay, hey, we can hook you up down there, but we got to make sure we get you on the right path so you can do all these things. So life could be easy for you. That's all. So, yeah, so that's good. So y'all are the generation that everyone is looking to. You know that now. Now, some people go be jealous, you know. Some of the younger people go be jealous and so forth. Your cousins will be jealous, but, hey, that don't matter. We're talking about it. Don't matter. They can be jealous all they want. But at the same time, they're jealous and they envy you and they're happy for you. Did you know? Can you have all of those things going on at the same time?
I didn't know that.
Yes. I spoke with Mookie. Mookie told me. And Kimberly told me during the wedding, you should be very proud of your son and your children. You should be very proud of them. They have turned out to be really good, excellent kids. I said, mm-hmm. And I know, I mean, when I was talking to Mookie and Kimberly, I was telling the job offers I was getting and so forth, and I mentioned about the project management position where I could have, over the next 10 years, $1 billion, you know, in charge of. And do you know what Mookie's response was? Immediately. Kimberly said, oh, man, that's wonderful, man. That's wonderful. Uncle Gil, I need you to find me a profession so that you could put me in so we could. You know what Mookie's response was?
Nope, I don't.
Hey, that's not a lot of money. $1 billion over 10 years, that's only $100 million a year. That ain't a lot of money. Uncle Gil, that don't mean nothing. I said, really? Are you that jealous? That I could be in charge of $1 billion, $100 million a year, and you, and the only response you could give is, that don't mean nothing. I just laughed. I said, wow. Instead of you saying, hey, man, this is the best thing that could ever happen to us. I mean, this is really like, wow. That's what Kimberly said. This was wow. This is like, wow. This, Uncle Gil, go. And the other one telling me, that don't mean anything. I just laughed. I said, oh, wow. I said, oh, do you look at me that much that you, every accomplishment I make, it's meaningless? So, I mean, so you'll have that, you know, jealousy, you know, whatever. But my sister and the rest of them, they are so happy for me. That's what I'm saying for the next generation. They're happy for me. They're happy for you guys. And they are witnesses that, hey, this thing is real, and it can change you to the maximum. So remember, everything is in the hand of Elohim. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. So all, you know, your life is still ahead of you. There's a lot there. And so remember, everything is in the hand of Elohim. So that's the key. That's why I was trying to tell your sisters, everybody, that the key is your connection with Yahweh, because you're in his hands. And if you're in his hands, then he will take you down the path that you need to go. Because we did what we needed to do on our end to bring you guys to this point. So now it's your guys to move to the next level. So you guys are what we would call the experiment, as some would say. And I'm glad that you guys could feel that when you guys eat certain foods, it really tears you up. And I'm glad you guys could see that when you exercise and we do certain things, it really builds you up. And when you don't, I'm glad that all of these things you experience, and it's not that dad said so and this, that, with that. No. I know from experience. When you guys say that and when y'all do that, I said, yes, they have made it to that level. Do you think other people experience that?
Other people outside of the family, what are you referring to?
No, period, on the planet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That people experience that in their body? And they know it? I doubt it.
What does the Mennonites eat? What do the Amish eat?
The Amish and Mennonite, their diet is not good at all.
What?
You heard me. I mean, we live with them. I know what their diet is. They're some of the sickest people because they eat a bunch of junk. They eat a bunch of junk. They are very sickly people as they get old. Mm-hmm.
Probably the Chinese. They, for whatever reason, they all look young and they all look small and thin and, you know, in shape. You can run into a 40-year-old Chinese woman and she looks like she's your age, 25. That's honest truth. So.
That's correct. But you got to remember, the people in China and the people in the Middle East, everybody on the planet, nobody eats meat like Americans. Nobody. Nobody eats steaks. Nobody eats that stuff. Africans, nobody. Nobody on the planet eats that. So that's why the rest of the planet people are much more healthier. The same thing with Indians. East Indians, they, most people have a close to a vegetarian diet. Did you know that? Except Americans.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why they're healthier, and that's what you said. Yes, that is correct. So they are an example of what has been going on. Now, they'll say that's because they don't have cows in every house. That's why. They don't have cows everywhere. They don't have, you know, so that's the reason why they say. But the bottom line is for thousands of years they've been living like this, and so, yes, you're right. Yep. And so now the next question. Now, my question was, do you think their children understand that? Once they come to America and they start eating the McDonald's and the new lifestyle.
Well, no, I wouldn't. Once they eat that stuff, no. I was thinking there's plenty of probably Chinese and Indians and so forth that still keep their diet that they had there. So...
Yes. Well, this is what I found out. This is what I was told. Someone said, who is it? Yeah, she was an Indian. She has an Indian friend. And this Indian friend had a nephew that was 17 years old, grew up in India, and then came to America. And so now he is eating the American diet, the frankfurters, the hamburgers. He has given up the Indian lifestyle. He has a white girlfriend that he wants to marry. He is violating all the rules. He's supposed to marry an Indian woman. He's not. So his children will not have Indian food when they grow up because he's converted to their American lifestyle. And so she was so upset with him. The whole family's upset with this guy because he grew up in India and he came to America and he has forsaken all of the Indian lifestyle. Now, her and her sisters and all the rest of them, yeah, they still dress in Indian garb. They still eat the Indian food. You know what I mean? They still got everything Indian. Then she said that her children who grow up in America, born in America, and grow up in America, do not have to keep any of the Indian lifestyle. They can become full American and never have, you know, do not have to marry Indian, do not have to eat Indian food, and all the rest of that. Can you believe that? I told her, why would they do that? And she said, because they're in America, and so they don't have to be Indian no more. I said, wow, that is the most foolish thing I've ever heard in my life. So what I'm finding out is the next generation, you know, when you're brainwashed in the beast, That's what I call it, the beast. We're in the belly of the beast. You get dissolved. And all that the good stuff that you have disappears. And all the stuff that you used to know or that you should know from your heritage, you know, are given up. And unless somebody does like what we did, because we've taught you the African way, we taught you the African name. I mean, we went back and grabbed everything as far as we could go and pulled it and gave it to you guys. And unless the Indians and the Chinese, unless they do that for their children that grow up here, they'll lose all of them. And so being in this system, in the belly of the beast, is a dangerous thing. Matter of fact, you can lose your way, and people are losing their ways in many forms. And so I hope, you know. So, as they might say, y'all might be the last hope, bruh. Have y'all looked at it like that?
Nope.
All right. Well, I hope we have given you stuff to think about, you and your sisters. But I'm glad that that y'all didn't know, so now you have an opportunity to know. you know. I mean, while you're young, that's the whole point. While you're young, like I said, my life changed at 20. Was it at 20? Yeah, 1976. That's when I became a vegetarian. Yep. And in 1978, 22, I had joined the church and changed and, you know, started down a whole nother path. So, you guys, as they would say, y'all are our only hope, bruh. You're our hope. You're the third generation. As they would say, three strikes and you're out. You're the third generation. So it's all up to you guys.
Yep.
All right. Sounds good. Now, don't come. Now, that doesn't count for your cousins and all the rest of it. They're not on the same wavelength at all. And that's a shame, but that's reality. So, all right. Well, keep those things in mind, my son. Any questions you have? Comments? Anything?
No, I can't think of anything. He's not right now.
Cool. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer and close out.
Mm-hmm. Dear God, thank you for this discussion. Thank you for opening our minds and hearts and souls and understanding and also being able to realize where we are in life and some of the situations and changes and goals that we should reach for to in order to accomplish your goals, your vision for us, as also our own, and to outreach to others. In your mighty prayer,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, good. So I'm glad, hey, you got the vision, my brother.
Wait, what? Did it stop? Did you hear it stop?
I think it stopped.